Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, I'm Richard Herring. You're about to listen to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. It's free. I hope you enjoy it. If you wish to give us some money back, you can download a video version of this podcast where you can see as well as hear. Just go to www.gofasterstripe.com/RHLSTP5, the number 5, and you'll be able to download this series. You'll also get the opportunity there to just donate some money by buying a badge, either by paying a one-off payment or pay monthly if you really want to help us fund other comedy. You can come and see me on tour at richardherring.com/gigs. You can find out all about that. But hey, enough. We don't want to just publicise stuff. We want to listen to funny people talking shit. And I'm going to do loads of adverts during the show anyway. So enjoy the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has just had his towel nicked at the swimming pool. Will you please welcome Richard Herring? Thank you. Very much. Hopefully that's recording already. Yes, there's the audience. Hello, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. I'm Rich Herring. Welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rehelestapur. Hey, oh, you're good. It's a smallish audience today, but they're very enthusiastic in a slightly sarcastic way. I thought that was very slightly sarcastic. I've just been swimming. You can tell, can't you, from the glow that's coming off me. Weirdly, I had a premonition about having my towel stolen, because it's all the same. It's not my own towel, but, you know, it's the one they gave me when I went in. And I was thinking, how can I stop this being stolen today for some reason? And then I saw a woman take it, and I was at the other end of the pool, and I was trying to swim to it, but then she dried her whole body with it. I didn't really want it then. But I was just wishing there was some way you could, like, put a little note saying, I've spunked up on this towel or something. But that might actually encourage some people to steal them. Because I've got very obsessive about the swimming pool recently. I'm kind of annoyed. I'm quite annoyed when people... Keep it down. I'm trying to work up here. I get annoyed when people go in the wrong lanes. There's some slow, medium and fast. But that is not... You're not always slow, medium and fast. You have to make a judgment on your swimming speed based on who is already in the pool. It's not, you can't go, well, I'm a fast swimmer. Because what if Rebecca Adlington and all the Olympic squad are in? Suddenly you're a slow swimmer, right? So you judge by then. But also make a sort of judgment based on how many people are in a particular lane, right? So if there are 3 people in one lane and 1 person in another, you probably go in the 1 person lane, right? It's just common sense. That isn't how other swimmers are. drives me insane. And I keep on getting mooed. I keep complaining about this. And then the last time I was in the pool, the woman came, the lifeguard came over to me. I was in the middle lane, and there was four people in the slow lane, two people in the middle lane, and some really slow people in the fast lane. I got in the middle lane, and then I did one length, and the lifeguard came over and said, "Can you move into the slow lane?" And I'd gone really fast as well, and they never do that at any other time. And I said, "There's four people," and then one of them got out. She said, "No, there's only three now." So then I had to move. It was humiliating. But today, a woman wearing a Victorian swimming costume. It was like a middle-aged woman. It might have been it might have been like a Muslim thing, I guess. I don't think it was, though. But she was wearing like a long swimming costume and a hat and goggles. And then there was two people in the middle lane. She started swimming parallel in the wrong direction. And I was going, "You've got to follow the arrows, madam." And then she shouted at me like I was mad. Oh, fuck it. Sorry, I've gone off on that, but there'll be more of that. Don't worry, if you read the Metro, you'll find out more about it. You'll find out all about that. I've got a new radio show on FUBAR Radio. Have you all been listening to that?
Yes.
No. They're trying to get people to pay to listen to the radio. How ridiculous. What a ridiculous idea. You can, of course, buy badges and pay for this. If you want as well, go and download the video. This is a good tip for any skin flints out there. I've been touring. I'm doing my show, We're All Going to Die, which there's still quite a few tour dates to come if you want to come and watch that. But I stayed at the Holiday Inn Express in Cambridge the other day. Ian Holiday Inn is a bit of an idiot because... I noticed, this is a little tip for you, if you want free... They say there's no such thing as a free breakfast. There is at the Holiday Inn Express. I've noticed this at everyone. They don't check your room number. They don't even check you're staying at the hotel. You can just wander in, have some free, limited amount of cereal, orange juice. There are some Danish pastries and, sausages and bacon and eggs for free. I mean, and plus what it costs you to travel to your nearest Holiday Inn Express. You look at me like that's a really fucking helpful tip. If you live next door to a Holiday Inn Express, you never have to pay for breakfast ever again. They might notice you if you're going in, but that's that's all for that. And my show Meaning of Life is, I think the first one should be out certainly by the time this thing is out. So do go to vimeo.com/channel/RHMOL or listen on iTunes or the British Comedy Guide for that. That's a brand new stand-up and sketch show, and it's free unless you want to pay for a longer version of it, which you can do. Last week I was talking about Dragon's Den. And I knew I had some good ideas for Dragon's Den. That's going to become one of my new emergency questions. My great idea, this happened at Christmas. We were on a walk at Christmas, and my wife really wants to have a dog, but we can't really have one in the house, and also we've got cats, and I don't want to have loads of animals because I just fall in love with them. And that's no good. I don't want to love other creatures. We thought, at Christmas, it would be really nice just to be able to hire a dog for the week of, 2 days or 3 days at Christmas. I thought I could set up a business called A Dog Is Just for Christmas. And we could hire it out. But I had a better idea. I could also set up a Christmas kennels for people who are going away at Christmas. Say, "Yeah, I'll look after your dog. Charge them to look after the dog." Then I could hire out those dogs to other people. Don't even have to have any kennels or dog food or anything. Getting double bubble. So that's my Dragon's Den idea. A Dog Is Just for Christmas. Anyone, are you in? 10% for £500,000. What do you think? Yeah, great, brilliant. We'll be minted. The problem is, people wouldn't... We'd have to change the name to something else, otherwise people would know what was going on. The kennels, they wouldn't. We just have to call the kennels something secret that no one wouldn't... Yes, Richard Herring Kennels. No, don't tell them what it's called. Anyway, look, you seem like an adequate audience. So I will... I've been giving you fucking gold here about the swimming, because it really annoys me in the swimming pool. What really annoys me is when people don't follow the arrows. There's arrows in the lane. I follow those arrows even if I'm the only one in the lane, because people might get in the lane after you. Sometimes when there's two people and the other person goes, "Can we split the lane?" And you just go, "No, we can't split the lane, because what if a third person then gets in? I'm doing backstroke the wrong way. They get in. It could be a disaster." You don't seem as convinced as me about that. So I always say no, because I like to swim widths instead of lengths. Is that all right? No, it's not. I like to swim diagonally across the pool. No, obey the fucking rules. Annoying. And don't steal my towel. We've got a fantastic pairing. That's why there's two chairs here, and that's why I'm on the inferior. They said, oh, there's a really big red chair at the back of the theatre. Would you like that? This isn't it, by the way. It's a different one. I said, oh, that sounds good. It's a grand chair. Then they came back in again and said, oh, by the way, it's a rocking chair. Would that be problematic? I said, that probably would be problematic. If it's a high-backed armchair, that would be ideal. But when we've made enough money, I'll buy a high-backed armchair. A little toilet mat. No, as it occurs to me, fanzine today. So, my first guest today, for people at home, this is just one podcast. It's a kind of internet podcast special, really, this next two episodes. People who are pioneers in podcasting. My first two guests this week are probably best known. One of them is best known for writing the index of a book about the Marylebone Cricket Club. And the other one is best known for being the gadgets correspondent of British Forces News. And they have both written for Keith Lemon's Lemonade. I mean, I'm just amazed any of that was written. Any of that's... None of this is written. What we're doing is not written. This all of Rich James' Leicester Square Theatre podcast is unwritten, in case you were wondering. Keith Lemon's Lemonade. Will you please welcome Helen Zaltzman and Ollie Mann, ladies and gentlemen? Here they are. Yeah, answer me this. Answer me this. Take out your microphone if you will, otherwise people will not be able to... It's kind of the first rule of podcasting. I know you're new to this, so... you are winners, of course, of a gold and
Can
silver...
Can we just end on there? We are winners.
Yes. Winners of a gold and silver Sony Award.
Yeah.
Just missing out on that all-important and elusive bronze.
Yeah. The coveted bronze.
That's what everyone's after.
So, alloys. Those are the most precious metals, aren't they?
They are. And also bronze is worth three. So you've got three in total. One plus two equals three.
So we're even.
Yeah, we are even. We've equaled up. I did say, in fact, as I was up against you, not literally, for the Sony Award.
I love
Award.
How seriously Richard Herring takes the Sony Award for Best
seriously.
Internet Programme. Like, seriously, no one else in the audience even knows who won. Richard.
I used to have my Sony Award here. I showed it to Stephen Fry. He was very impressed.
Oh,
my bronze Sony Award.
Yeah, screw BAFTAs. That's the gig he wants. Yeah. 4 hours of radio industry masturbation.
Yeah, it's good. I said that if you won in every year, or if you won the gold, that I would be bummed, but I would be bummed to death by you, Ollie Mann.
And tonight this is going to happen.
and you did.
Everybody cover up with a Macintosh or something, because it's going to be hideous.
You did win, so I've been avoiding you since then. Because I tweeted, I said, yeah, if I win, I thought I was definitely going to win. Because come on.
And then I believe you said... After we did win, oh God, why do you insist on rewarding my enemies? It's a graceful in defeat.
Yes,
I'm
was.
Not overly familiar with the procedure of bumming and how it's initiated. Yeah. But my understanding is it's not enough just to say, if this happens, I will be bummed. my understanding is that the bummer has to be willing to be the bummer as well.
I don't know if it's possible for a bummy to rape a bummer. That would be quite hard.
It would be coerce
and force you. It would have to be some system, maybe, where I got someone else under a blanket, and I said, maybe I said, there's a gorgeous woman or man, I don't know, Ollie. Where
is this
your
the plot of a Serbian film?
Yeah, maybe. Just then there's a hole in the blanket, and then I switch places. It's a bit like The Boat That Rocked. The famous comedy rape film.
Is that what happens? I haven't watched it. It's sounding like a Jewish wedding night. Mark Banks.
It has changed its tone a little bit since Operation Yew Tree. I'm not sure they'll be showing it, but there is a scene where Nick Frost basically... I think I talked about this last week. I mean, I do talk about it a lot. But Nick Frost tries to trick a girl into being raped by a very attractive man, so, you know, that's fine, right?
I mean, comedy bumming scenes are few and far between.
They are.
I mean, I think if you're willing to start a new genre in podcast terms, an audio bumming is fairly easy to organise, I should imagine.
Well, I tried to do it with Andrew Collins. That was basically the Ross and Rachel of Andrew Collins.
If only you'd called that Collins and Herring's audio bumming. That would have been so appropriate as well.
We never happened. Even we know it could come back. There's still a never say never. It still could happen. But it's interesting that the problem with you is the bumming rather than the bumming to death, I would say, would be the hard part of that.
It's the inevitable result of an Ollie Mann encounter.
Not from what I've heard of his very tiny penis. It would be very hard for him to kill me with that.
He has a range of dangerous prosthetics, though, like in the film Seven.
It's amazing Richard said he doesn't have writers on this show because he obviously has researchers.
I do all my own research with the prosthetics. So let's talk about the things I introduced you with rather than bumming. Come and grow up.
Sorry.
Pathetic.
I've got more to ask you about the bumming later.
We'll come back to
it. Yeah, if we could. Incidentally, the whole hole in the blanket thing, yeah. I was imagining more of a sort of Yo Sushi-style conveyor belt affair. Yeah.
With bums.
With me tumescent at one end.
Okay.
And a parade of bums reversing into me. Right. Of which you'd be just one.
Wow. I was imagining...
Do the bums go through? Are they... Do the bums like ghosts?
Somebody doesn't know anything about bumming. Look at it. The government got a clue.
Where do the bums on the conveyor belt go once you've bummed them? Is it going to stack
up? And then you pay.
Or do they go... Do they go...
A moral price. I was imagining more... you know how the Minotaur was conceived because the Queen
yes,
of Crete...
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you were there.
Was it at the Sony Awards 2011?
That would have brightened things up. The Queen of Crete was encased in I think Daedalus the sculptor had built her the body of a cow out of bronze, probably. Yeah. And then, because it was her fantasy to be sexed by a bull. So maybe you could be wearing a bronze sculpture of Ollie's girlfriend and then Ollie would be more willing to bomb you to death.
Maybe. But it sounds like he doesn't bum his girlfriend, is what I've picked up already from the...
From the whole conveyor belt scenario.
Well, that you don't know much about bumming, that's why.
Well, it's been very edifying, hasn't it?
Yeah. Whereas I know an awful lot about it, if you want any tips. And being bummed. Actually, one of the Brit comedy things someone pointed out the other day, there's a Britcom Confessions, which neither of you... are in, which where comedy fans reveal their sexual fantasies about.
That doesn't enormously surprise me.
I'm slightly surprised because usually any double act, it is often two men that they. I think there's a
this
lot.
Is, he's being nice now. This is what he tweeted as well. I said I'd return to this subject. Ollie Mann is so hideous, even a pervert wouldn't fuck it.
And then he envisaged a situation where you were being bummed by my brother.
And just to be clear about this, it's not like we're showbiz mates, like because we both do podcasts, you know, hang around down the pub, and he's like, oh yeah, he's so hideous, even a pervert wouldn't fuck him. Never met him. Never met him, and he tweeted that. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember watching Richard Herring on the telly when I was a kid. I thought he was great.
That wasn't weird. Me, that was the character Richard Herring, who is not... I was very angry that Andrew Collins stopped doing the Collins and Herring podcast, mainly because we were catching you up in numbers of podcasts and about to overtake you.
Whereas now history will always show you to be inferior.
It will, yeah. So I'm very angry with him because of that.
Well, it made me feel, in a way, flattered that on some level the comedy character Richard Herring was in some way... vulnerable, was in some way jealous of what we'd achieved from Helen's sitting room. So we do a podcast from Helen's sitting room with no money, no reputation, no representation. And Richard decides that we are his mortal enemies. There's Jimmy Carr in the world.
I know, but that's what's the fun in hating him.
It's fun to
make enemies of two very nice people. That's the way I feel.
But I was kind of flattered.
Yeah, you should be flattered.
Yeah,
it was nice.
Yeah,
in a violating
it was nice
sort of way.
Me saying you were hideously ugly.
Yeah.
You're much better looking in real life than you seem on the photos.
Or in audio form.
Yeah. You're quite nice looking.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm surprised there's no Britcom thing. But the Brit comedy confession, but all about me and Stu, is someone saying they like to imagine me and Stu having sex with each other and they imagine that Stu is on top.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone said that's a bit unfair to Richard. And I said there is no way that I'd want to put my penis in Stuart Lee's raddled anus. So.
It's one for the DVD box, isn't it?
It is. So I'd happily. Yeah, who wouldn't want to be bummed by Stuart Lee? Come on. He might pass on some of his comedy magic.
I'd imagine you would be quite a bossy bottom, though.
Yeah, I might.
I imagine being bummed by Stuart Lee would be quite an intense experience. Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah. I imagine with you, to be honest, it would be quite.
You are imagining it then. That's what you're saying.
I feel like he's fully clothed and also jeering. So it's a very subordinate position to be in.
Yeah. And it would go on for a long time, that's the problem. Yes. It would just be the same thing over and over again. There'd be no variety in the bumming.
And he'd comment on it as it goes along.
Yeah, yeah.
How I've reacted, how he might have expected me to react, but I haven't at this point.
You were expecting me to ejaculate, weren't you? But I did not ejaculate, as you expected.
See what I mean? It's really weird. I used to watch Ian Herring. I was really excited. Here I am on stage with Richard Herring at the same time having a conversation with him saying I'm so ugly even a pervert wouldn't fuck me. It's really weird.
Bring it up, though.
I know, because it was weird. Imagine it was just here in my mind for, like, the whole interview. I never mentioned.
Thing is, I remembered that I used to say stuff about you two, but I couldn't remember any of what it was. So it's all...
Well, it's a good thing you did it in a public forum.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So I could go back and listen, but I never do. No. Go back and listen to anything
it's
I do.
Probably the best.
As I was saying to you, you interviewed me earlier, which is so it's weird. So the tables have turned. I was very polite to you. Yeah. With the Collins and Herring was sort of just would allow himself to say all the things that any normal person would repress. Mm. So there was the little voice. It's a bit like Me Too from the Me One versus Me Too podcast. He says whatever he's thinking, and so you know it's his fault, not my fault.
That's not a legal defence.
The things he did, it could work. It could work. We'll see. Anyway, let's talk about the gap being the gadgets correspondent on British Forces News.
That's what everyone's come here to hear about.
So how did that come about?
Well, you see, Richard, I've got a mortgage.
Yeah,
and I like technology. And I was offered the opportunity to be... There's no anecdote here, really.
They can't have paid you that much. They can't have paid you enough to pay your mortgage, surely.
At one point, Richard, I know it's hard to imagine, I didn't even have my own radio show. I was, you know, on Povers Street when it came to podcasting. Yeah. And I was happy to go for that. But...
It was good. I watched some of it. It's good.
Oh, thank you.
You were talking on a... There was a thing that was to stick into mobile phones that was like an old-fashioned phone.
It turns them into a machine gun because it's for the forces.
Well, that was the awkward thing. I was always like, yeah, I'm happy to do, like, because actually it's quite interesting, actually, if you look at the demographics of people who buy gadgets. Interestingly, someone told me this may be completely untrue. Apparently, a lot of gay men buy gadgets because more like to have disposable income, apparently, and a lot of people in the forces buy gadgets for the same reason. They're away from their family, they want to take gadgets away to them with them when they go overseas. And so, actually, there is a market for, like, travel stuff that you can use outdoors, and so on. And I was like, that's great, but I don't really want to talk about guns, if that's okay. But there's every reason that you say it's going to be on the internet afterwards. Like, the last thing you want is someone Googling your name, and then you sort of... I'm thinking about, like, Cher in the Turn Back Time video, you know, astride a massive cannon. and I just didn't want to do that. They were very nice. I never had to talk about guns. Although I did talk about once about an app that silences out the sounds of guns whilst you're firing a gun.
Right.
So, but it's for target practice. It's not for shooting Afghans with. When you're using the gun, you put these special headphones, your iPhone headphones, on underneath your gun headphones, and it plays a little noise. It knows when you're firing the gun, and then you don't get deafened.
You say that's for practice, but is there a pro version that is for real combat situations? Yeah. And it doesn't have ads on? Yeah.
They always get you with a free trial, don't they? And before you know it, you're shooting people. Same thing happens with Love Film.
Well, we've got at least two people from the British Forces who listen to this, so maybe they've seen...
It's unlikely. Yeah. Because I was on the... This is the weird thing. Like BFBS...
What do the people of the British Forces... I suppose they're not always like in the battlefield. I'm sort of imagining them sort of in a trench... Going, we must find out about the lights. Watch out, there's bombs. No, I want to find out about the gadgets. Ollie Mann's on.
What is Ollie Mann going to say about the iPhone 4S?
You're like a Forces sweetheart, aren't you? Like the 21st century Betty Grable.
I prefer to think of myself as Vera Lynn, but yeah.
She's alive, being Vera Lynn. So
I'm not sure Vera Lynn is the 21st century Vera Lynn, though, in fairness. She's very much the 20th century
Vera Lynn. I've met Vera Lynn. She's a very, very nice lady.
I've met Marguerite Patton.
It's not a contest for all the people you've met.
No good just mentioning women you've seen. I don't know who that is, though.
She's another bit of wartime totty, basically. She was the woman who used to do the cooking. She did the first cooking shows in the UK, and it was all about how to make things using rations.
Yeah.
And she did the whole thing about, like, ho-ho, you may have some potato peat at home, and you may have some Colin the Carrot, and I'll show you a delicious recipe of how to make it at home yourself. And it was all about how to make disgusting food from what was available in rations. And I met her, and she was nice.
She's still alive now, or she sadly died?
I think she's still alive.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. She told me that if you're going to juice a kiwi, the best thing to do is put it in the blender with the skin because you get the roughage. And I thought, a woman in her 90s, she'll know.
My dad was... My dad, because I know Vera Lynn because I do some work for Scope, and she's a patron of Scope as well, or helps with this school. And my dad found out I was going to meet her, and then he bought a... He said, I've got a copy of Vera Lynn's autobiography I bought in a second-hand shop. You know Vera Lynn, can you get it signed for me? And I said, well, no, I don't really know her. I mean, you haven't even bought the book. That's like, it's not even a proper sale for her. But then the Scope arranged it, so my dad met Vera Lynn, which was very exciting.
Did they hit it off?
He was all right. I was worried about him being offensive and, you know, saying the wrong thing, which he often does in an amusing
way. Vera Lynn,
way.
If we get on, I'm going to bomb you to death. When it comes to books that you buy in charity shops, yeah. I've got a Quentin Crisp memoir, which I got from a charity shop for 20p, and it was a signed one.
Right.
You open it up and it said, "To Jill, Happy Christmas, Quentin Crisp." And it didn't look like it was a book signing. It looked like he'd given it as a present.
To a friend.
And she'd given it to Oxfam. So all I could think was she died, and then the relatives didn't notice it was signed or didn't know who Quentin Crisp was.
Yeah.
But on the one hand, I'd feel it was exciting to have a collectible with the signature of a dead author.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when it's dedicated to someone else, a bit sad.
Was it Jill with a J or Jill with a G?
Do you know someone who'd like it?
My sister's called Jill.
Okay. I think it's with a J.
Yeah, great.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Get Vera Lynn to sign it, can't you, Dad?
That's very, very confusing for my sister. Would you like this book? I don't really know who Quentin Crisp is. Hasn't he been dead for several years? I still can't... That's what's really impressive. Good. The index of the Marylebone Cricket Club, that's why people have come to see this, to hear about that, so let's get that out of the way.
Some of my finest work.
Well, just the index?
I think I proofread it as well, Richard. Okay. Yeah, because you don't want any mistakes in such an interesting book.
You know.
You really don't. Oh, God. It's a dark period of my life. I know Russell Brand came on and talked about having sex with prostitutes and wanking off people when he was on heroin. All I've got is the index of the Marylebone Cricket Club book. Index of a book about the Queen's stamps.
That's good. The Queen's stamps.
The Queen's got a massive stamp collection.
Has she? She gets them for free, though. I bet she's her face is on them.
She is the face of stamps. And it's been in the family for generations, because they've all been the face of stamps.
Yeah. Only since 1840, when Roland Hill brought in the...
History graduate.
Thank you. Good. That's what I remember from... the only history I remember is from my O-level, to be honest, and that was my O-level for history.
Mostly stamp-based.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff happened in 1840, because it's basically the...
2 years before a lot of revolts,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
But wasn't the police force 1840-ish? It was around then Queen Victoria came to the throne, wasn't it? So
the Victorians got a lot of shit done, Richard.
They did.
They had a lot of time, though, being Victorians.
Why did they have a lot of time?
Well, it's a very long reign. as you know.
Yes, I do.
No regency or anything.
Well, we're the Elizabethan second era is nearly as long now.
Yeah, and what have we done?
That's true, isn't it? That's who we compare ourselves with, is the Victorians, for the length of time we've had.
Well, we've got the internet.
Yeah, we did the internet. Look what we're putting on. Oh, dear. Terrible.
Mainly bumming-based material. And how did you get involved in Keith Lemon's Lemonade and other projects?
Well, actually, we have no shame about that. That was
waving money in our faces.
You don't have to be ashamed. I'm not asking you to be ashamed. You're not Stephen Merchant. You don't have to take. Don't think I'm bringing somebody up to take the piss. I'm genuinely interested.
There was something amazing in that show that I'm imagining you haven't seen.
I didn't watch it.
In which they dress Keith as one of those giant. It's a giant fairground grabber. And hover him from the ceiling of the studio, and you had to pick things up off the floor.
Right. Lemon Drops, the feature was called.
Did you come up with the name?
No.
We didn't come up with the name, but we did come up with the thing on Celebrity Juice where it was Ant and Dec, and there was a game involving measuring Ant's forehead. I can't remember what they did to Dec. And also, Helen came up with the thing with McFly. What's in my McFly?
I also came up with a game in which Danny Dyer got hit really hard with a baguette in the stomach. And apparently he left a huge red mark. Wow. So I've left my mark.
But how it came about, in answer to your question, is that the producer of Celebrity Juice listens to our show and asked us if we'd like to come for lunch. That's what happened.
That's how it begins.
That's how it begins.
That's how it begins.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
You know what we'd really like to do? We'd really like to do our own chat show, and we'd really like to do a show that's kind of like Answer Me This, but on TV. And you produce radio shows as well, don't you? Would you like to produce a radio show with us? And he was like, yeah, would you like to write some knob gags for Fern Cotton? And we're like, okay. So we did that. But it's been good to us.
He's still working with... Did you work on Celebrity Through the Keyhole?
No.
Good, because that was the worst thing I've ever seen. Did you see that?
Have they asked you to be on it?
No, they haven't. I do occasionally get asked to do those kind of things. I think he knows that I don't really care for his work. So I have a feeling they wouldn't. I was asked to do Celebrity Juice by the very nice first producer of that. Uh-huh. And I said, I can't really do that.
And yet you did that celebrity canoeing show, or whatever it was.
Rowing?
Apologies.
Rowing, yeah, because I was... Yeah,
you went in a coracle.
I got taught to row by Steve Redgrave, which I would say is better than joking about Holly Willoughby's breasts.
Well, you say that. Starts.
Yeah. I'd say that was a thing.
Once you start, you can't stop. We've spent days just writing jokes about Holly Willoughby's tits, and it's really fun. When you know you're getting paid for it and getting paid per joke, it's great. You can even work out the rate per tit, and that's fun.
Also, people treat it like you're doing something really serious and important.
Yeah.
They're very reverential.
Yeah, it is brilliant. Guys, do you need anything? Because we're just going out to do a coffee run. I know you're writing some really tough material about Peter Andre's knob. So, I mean, if you need anything, anything at all to help you with that. No, we're fine since the runner came in 10 minutes ago and gave us free sandwiches. Thank you. It's great. You get treated very well as a writer. Much better. I used to be a TV researcher.
Yeah.
No one cares when you're a TV researcher. You're the guy doing that. You're the guy getting people the sandwiches. When you're having the sandwiches got for you...
You should go to the Holiday Inn Express any morning. Honestly, you can have as much. You could stock up for the whole day. You would never have to do anything for the food again.
Well, actually, I've got a little secret about the Holiday Inn Express. Have you been to the one in Salford?
I did stay at one in Salford, yeah. But
they do check that you're staying there before you're allowed at the breakfast buffet, though.
Oh,
so your ruse would be uncovered.
Yeah, that's because they're aware. I've stayed at a few where they don't. Definitely the one in Lincoln and definitely the one in Cambridge. Maybe it's just the kind of fen-like areas where they trust.
You're like the Edward Snowden of Holiday Inn free buffets.
But anyway, Holiday Inn Express Salford.
Yeah.
If you go back a second or maybe it's third time, I can't remember, and you smile nicely when you get there, free Kit Kat.
Wow.
Just two fingers, though, not four.
Two fingers and a Kit Kat. That's the kind of material we'd be writing for celebrities. So, yeah, you'd get the Kit Kat in your room. It's just there. They don't mention it.
Right.
It's just always there. And we saw John Motson, the football commentator, there. Because this is really weird. Holiday Inn Express in Salford is like the Holiday Inn to the stars now, because it's next to the BBC. And Motty was there, and he was having... Do you remember? He was saying to the manager, oh, thanks for getting my Kit Kat, love. Thanks for getting me my Kit Kat. Like, he thought he was special. And yeah. I was like, I've got a Kit Kat. It's not just you.
You're from the British Forces gadget show. They probably recognised you from that. So
yeah,
that's probably where you got that. Scott Bennett, Helen, has asked me to ask you, how do you feel about your flat being on BBC Two's Jonathan Meade's documentary on brutalism?
Whoa, how did he find that out?
I don't know.
I haven't seen my flat on there, but it's not that brutalist of flats.
No.
Inside, it's got quite an 80s vibe because there's a pine room divider.
I don't really know what brutalism is, and I'm sure that many of my viewers don't either, so
it's very
I'll pretend that I do know, and then you can say.
Yeah, it's angular, it's concrete-y.
Right.
I suppose it looks like if you'd locked up a blob of concrete and then put people inside.
Right.
Does that bring any mental images? That's not the kind of place I live, though.
Right. Yeah. So why is your flat on the documentary by Jonathan Meade?
I don't know. I've not seen the context. I haven't watched it, and Jonathan Meade's standing outside going, look at this shit.
I can't imagine he got inside your flat and filmed inside, but no.
Maybe he rang all of the buzzers like a Jehovah's Witness.
Now, that would be a really interesting take on Through the Keyhole, wouldn't it? You were saying you weren't keen on the new format.
Yeah.
What if they just broke into celebrity houses without permission at all?
Burgled by Keith Lemon, how would you feel?
But that's almost what he does. That's why I don't like it, because he goes really fiddling into... That's why I would never... I mean, even if it wasn't Keith Lemon...
It's all set up, Richard.
He goes and gets all your stuff out and puts
it's
on
all
your pants
before,
and things.
Isn't it?
But it's still your
still,
pants.
It's still your. I don't even know if it's your pants.
Okay.
Is it even your house?
I don't know.
There could be a production house. Would you open up your house to a TV
crew? I wouldn't.
Group?
I was asked to do Celebrity Come Dine With Me.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And you said
and,
no.
And I said no to that.
Did
why?
You?
Because it takes 5 nights to do it for a start, and they don't really pay you that much. But also, I was working, so I had like I was you know, I don't have 5 nights in a row where I'm not doing a gig. And
that would be awful if that was your night and the entertainment you laid on was you.
And I can't
you were
cook.
Just doing a stand-up gig, gave everyone a bit of takeaway.
When I did do the one about the rowing, the one thing I said to them is there any point you're going to be filming this while we're asleep? Because that's as far as I don't want to go, you know, because A, I snore a lot, and B, I just think that the sort of the human dignity aspect of it is quite...
You're so vulnerable asleep.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
It's funny you mentioning my tiny penis, because yes. The thing that I've always been thinking about is if I ever... This ridiculous thing to even think about. Why do I think about this? If I ever got invited onto Big Brother... Yeah. Would I be comfortable in the one where they do have cameras in the bathroom? Because they always say they're not going to use it, don't they? But then if there's an incident in the bathroom...
Yeah.
I'm sure I saw the outline of Lee Ryan's cock in the last series. Yeah. And I'm sure that was justified.
Really pause it.
And I'm sure that was justified. And I think the justification was, well, if you put into Google Lee Ryan's cock, you'll get a picture of Lee Ryan's cock. So what difference does it make?
Justified by art.
But, yeah, he wouldn't have been asked about that, would he?
No.
No.
I like the fact that you worry about that. That you would be in the bathroom doing something interesting enough for your penis to be shown. It just seems it seems quite an unlikely chain of events. That A, you get invited on.
Yeah.
B, you're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
C, you've suddenly decided to get off with one of the women on Big Brother for some reason.
Yeah.
But just in case, you're going to wear a boiler suit under all of your clothes all the time.
Still worth having the clause in the contract, though, isn't it? Just to be sure.
It is worth. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's when... Because that... I thought that was very... I didn't see much of this last series of Big Brother, but it seemed undignified that they were handcuffing Lionel Blair to a bloke and making him, you know, like an 80-year-old man or however old he is, being handcuffed to someone else. Mm. There's no dignity to it.
Well, I haven't seen it since that woman shoved a wine bottle up her back.
Yeah, that was
so
good.
Maybe dignity has been reduced since then.
But I think she sort of chose to allow her dignity. It's not like they go, can you take this wine bottle and insert
just,
it
just
in
see
any
what
event?
Just
any
jazz it.
What was her name? Are you being deliberately coy?
Kinga.
If that happened now, there'd be an account for Kinga Snatch, wouldn't there, on Twitter?
Yeah, within about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But after 3 days, it would not be at all funny.
Yeah.
That was not an attempt at a wordplay. It sounded a bit like I said funny, you see.
Oh, funny.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
The vowel was ambiguous,
yeah.
But not deliberately.
Thanks for clarifying.
I wish I hadn't.
So there was a lot of things I could do. We all talk about Answer Me This at some point.
Nah.
There were a lot of things on Ollie. Ollie's got a very professional website.
It's quite bright, though, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is, but it lists all of his lists. All it's got, like, you go to a page and it lists, there's boxes of all the different shows he does, and you can click on them and see clips. Whereas your website is lovely.
I don't want to brag about all of the many amazing things I've done.
You don't really brag about stuff, but it's
I don't work much.
It's mainly about quilts you've made and...
Yeah.
Furniture you've managed to cobble together.
Did you see there was...
Which is good. I like that. It's better than, you know... Yeah. Well, we'll talk about
it's about my life.
Better than my
Womble,
website. Thanks, Richard.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, to see that side. We see the professional side of Ollie Mann. We don't see any of the personal side, whereas it's the other way around, really, mainly.
There was a bit of fake taxidermy on there that I made out of a pair of trousers, a stag's head that's got a squeaker in the nose. Did you get that far?
I didn't get to see that one. I must look out for that.
Make your own.
I will. You made it out of a pair of trousers.
Old trousers.
And a stag's head. Did you kill a stag and then put...
I just covered it in trousers. No, I suffocated it with the trousers.
Just for the likeness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stinks.
Are you a handicrafter? You don't strike
no,
me as
I'm
a
not. Look at my hands. Are not. They're
You've
like
got dumpy fingers.
I've got very dumpy fingers. But this is a proper fact. If anyone ever asks for this on Answer Me This.
Yeah.
My hands are the exact same size and shape as Hermione's from Harry Potter's.
I love that.
Wow.
I love
I've
that.
I've put my hands into her handprints. And that is kind of horrifying.
Just to try and get it The idea that her hands are that stumpy on... She looks like quite a, you know...
Elfin.
Yeah, elfin, and then these stumpy
also,
kind of dwarf
many, many
hobbit hands on the end of them. They're that thick, and the fingers... It was exact.
Are concrete ones exact, though? Is there not a bit of room for getting your hand out of the solidifying concrete?
It absolutely, completely filled it like I was
like
sort of Harrison Ford in that thing on the other side.
And yet... Amazingly, you know, many, many, many men have fantasised about Emma Watson giving them a handjob.
Yeah, well, I do a joke in the show, in one of my shows, saying that, you know, if you close your eyes, I could travel the country providing a different service for the adult. It's the same size as the adult, Hermione. I'm not going to wank off blokes who want to be wanked off by the child, Hermione. I'm not catering for perverts, just normal blokes who want to be wanked off by a man with the same size hands. Well, they're close.
It's more sellable than mine, though, because my hand double is the 16th century poet John Donne.
Is it?
If you look at a portrait of John Donne, exactly the same fingers. Long fingers. A picture of him holding a book, and it's exactly the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like John Donne. Busy old fool, unruly son, why dost thou... Can't remember the rest of it. I did it for A-level. I did John Donne for A-level, so I used to know quite a lot of those poems. But we'll come back to that later. It's a very... Oh, I like this podcast, it's going well. Got onto John Donne and wanking off blokes. That's probably never happened. Someone's talked about Hermione from Harry Potter wanking off blokes, and then that reminds me of John Donne.
Yeah. I did in my finals, and I failed.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's no. good. I liked it. Well, John Donne is an interesting man because he started off writing very bawdy, and you know, there's a great one about a flea biting. This flea's already bitten me, and it's bitten you, so our blood is already entwined together. So we might as well have a shag.
Mm.
And then he becomes very religious at the end after his
wife
dies.
Quite often happens, doesn't it? Just it I think does. Their urges abate. Yeah. It's like W.B. Yeats as well. He stops being so angry because he's sublimated his body, and then he's like, oh, but actually I'm trapped in this body and I'm going to die.
Yeah, I'm getting there myself. St. Augustine as well.
Really?
God give me God give me chastity.
Is anyone still in the room?
I'd say what I like about this podcast is we can go in any direction to go. We don't have to. It doesn't have to be about bumming. It can be about.
But as long as John Donne wrote things about bumming, we can talk about.
He probably did.
I reckon he did.
I reckon he definitely bummed.
It
someone.
Wouldn't have been called that, would it?
No.
John Donne's bum fun. No. At the time, no. Now it might.
But whenever he bummed someone at the end, he'd go, "I'm done."
Hey. But you see, this is why modern authors wouldn't have this conversion, which you're talking about, where as they get older, they seem more sophisticated, actually, kind of because of the internet and because we all feel we need to know about people's sex lives or we have access to that information. It seems to me like, actually, people who start quite serious now end up being very base, like Harold Pinter, you know, Jermaine Greer,
Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And write books being like, oh, I quite like 14-year-old boys. They're hot, aren't they? Weird. You know, starting quite high-minded.
Was that her or you, the 14-year-old?
That was Jermaine. That was me Jermaine. Channeling Jermaine as
well.
That
was
great.
It was good. Just checking. So, Ollie Mann, you are one of the many things that I've seen, well, a couple of.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Exciting things. You have just been on the Alan Titchmarsh show today.
This is like a really shit version of This Is Your Life, isn't it?
This is your day.
He came on and said, I've just been on the Alan Titchmarsh show discussing the North-South divide.
Yeah.
And I said, I've just watched a clip of you on the Alan Titchmarsh show from 5 years ago discussing the North Side divide with Boris Johnson's sister.
That's right, yeah.
Had your opinions changed much?
I think the thing about the Alan Titchmarsh show and all ITV daytime programming is that actually,
as a political forum, never better.
You could effectively show the same episode every day
because
a large proportion of the audience aren't in control of the remote, because in care homes you can't be, can you? No, they, you know, it's a relevant discussion, Richard, the North-South divide.
It is.
It's one worth having every 5 years.
Was Boris Johnson's sister there again, or was it different?
No, I was up against, actually, this really great guy, whose name escapes me.
Just met him this afternoon.
I met him this afternoon. He's got, an alliterative name, like Pete Phillips or something. It's awful that I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's a legend of late-night Liverpool radio.
Okay.
Does anyone here know who I'm talking about? He does an overnight show in Liverpool. Pete Price, there we go, thank you.
It's very good, this audience, well done.
Very good.
Was Pete Price there, that shang there.
I thought I meant something to you, Ollie, you forgot so soon.
He was a dude, so it was great to meet him, actually. And that's the
and
thing
then
about
immediately forget his name.
It's been a long day. I do an overnight show myself now, so this is a weird. I normally wake up at 2 p.m. and don't start work till 10:30 p.m. So this is a weird. I've already done two bits of work, if you can call this work.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm being a bit fried. But yeah, no, he was, I don't know, did anything funny happen?
Who won?
I can't tell you because it was
better?
A pre-record.
Oh.
It doesn't happen till Friday. So yeah.
But actually, this show doesn't go out there.
Okay, I won.
You won.
I won, yeah.
Did Alan Titchmarsh decide? You have won.
The audience decide. They're all given paddles.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and they get to vote for which... I was yellow for some reason. He was blue.
And what were you arguing?
I was... Do we have to talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay. I was arguing that the South is better than the North. Okay.
Hooray!
But, no, let's not do it here. We're not on ITV now.
And this show was in London, and they asked the audience to vote on who was right.
Which... I agree, seems loaded. But you have to remember, I think most of the audience probably are Northern on telly, and of course Alan himself is Northern, and they love Alan. So it's not as simple as it seems.
Yeah, it is.
You know, is it going to be 50-50? I was really worried, actually. This is why I went and got this suit. This suit took a lot of thinking, believe it or not.
Okay.
Because I was like, I want something that looks kind of traditional. That's why I went for wool. Because I've realised this, Richard, you probably realise this. Telly is all about how you look, right? It's not about what you're saying. It's the opposite of radio and podcasting, which is all about thinking a thing, saying it, the audience hear it, and then they react. Telly is just about how you look. So after I've been on TV, all I get is tweets saying, oh, you look a bit fat in that. I can see your bald spot. Where do you get your watch from? That's it. Nothing about what I've said.
Do you think that wearing a wool suit will stop them pointing out there?
No, what I want to...
Just to cover up his bald spot.
I see it's not on your head.
No,
it's his knee. Don't look.
No, what I want them to say is, I like your suit, because then they're saying that rather than, you're so ugly a pervert wouldn't even fuck you, for example.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd go and get a new suit for this, and it was quite a difficult process, because I thought, I want something that looks traditional, because I'm aware how they were pigeonholing me. They wanted me to come on and be like the posh guy from the south of England, up against Pete Price from Scouse World. And I thought, what they want...
Things they chose pretty well. I mean, they made a good choice.
I thought what they want is for me to be Katie Hopkins, basically. Yeah. They want me to go on and be a... Right?
You can say it.
I know I can say cunt on a podcast, but it doesn't feel right. It still doesn't feel right, that word, does it? But they did. They wanted me to go on and do that. And I thought, I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to go on and I'm going to look like a nice man you'd be happy if your daughter brought home.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say unpalatable things.
I wouldn't be happy. I'd say, you've brought home a man that even a pervert wouldn't fuck
with. So that's what I was aiming for with this suit. But then I was like, tweed would be too far in the Brian Sewell sort of direction, you know.
Yeah.
So I went for red...
But see, as someone who does do quite a lot of these opinion-y kind of shows, don't you think it'd be a good idea for you to pretend to be outrageous like Katie Hopkins is doing in order to get more work?
Yes, I think it would, but that's when you've got to make the decision about your own morality, isn't it? That comes back to the come dine with me decision, doesn't it?
It does.
I've met Katie Hopkins in green rooms. She's perfectly pleasant in real life. She's acting. She's like, I know what they want me to do. They want me to go on and say everyone on benefits is a terrible person. And everyone who suffers brings it upon themselves. And divorced families shouldn't have any money from the state. And I'm not even sure she really believes those things.
She definitely doesn't.
She's playing a circus pantomime villain.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. That's not why we started a podcast, so that we have to pretend about what we think. Hmm. So it's difficult, isn't it?
I have lied the whole time, though. All 7 years we've been doing the podcast.
Just pretended to be my friend.
And you've also been on the Lorraine Show... I did that job. I was for a little while. I was on the Lorraine Show in the early 2000s.
Oh yeah,
and then I got sacked.
What was your job on it?
Well, I had to go on and talk about funny things because I did. She did a Sky one, then I got promoted. I did the Sky one and was funny a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I was on with Katie Price, and we were meant to be talking about I was meant to say what annoyed me about women. She was meant to say what annoyed about men.
Mm-hmm.
Mine were all sort of jokey, you know, stupid ones.
Yeah,
and she said, I don't like it when they have sex with you and then they don't phone you. It was just absolutely... I was doing quite ribald, funny stuff. Yeah. And the camera were laughing, and then she was just doing these tragic things.
Yeah.
But luckily, I was funny. And then she went on to do quite well afterwards. It was before she became famous again. Then I went on the ITV one. I did a couple of those. And then I was doing Christmas gift ideas. And they'd given me all these Christmas... They were all sort of twee,
Christmas gifts.
Like, I assume that you're not actually an expert then,
I'm not.
The choosing of Christmas gifts.
So they gave me lots of kitsch things. One of them was some mittens that you could hold hands with. I really liked Lorraine Kelly, and I was holding hands with her through these shared mittens, and I was just going, oh, this is exciting. Mm. And then they had a snow
globe. That was probably the moment where she was like, don't book this guy again.
She was a little bit, but then the moment that got me into, because I was meant to be going back the next week. I've been called in again for the Friday, and there was meant to be back on Friday. And there was a snow globe, which was Joseph with Jesus on his back, and it was a snow globe. And I said, that's a nice gift for anyone whose, you know, dad isn't their real dad, who's, you can... And that apparently was the straw that broke the camel's back. I thought that was quite funny.
It's difficult
not because... for 9:30 on ITV.
They have to know somehow.
Because sometimes they actually try... Sometimes on daytime TV, they tell you what to say as well as just... We booked you because we think you're funny and interesting. Come on and do this thing. You think there'd be trust there. And usually there is. But sometimes you'll get... And what it is it's because the researchers are all nervous because they'll get fired if something bad happens. You know, you just won't be asked on again, but the researcher will get fired.
Yeah.
And I remember once someone came up to me and I was doing a paper review and they came up to me and said, we'd like to touch on the story of all the tourists trapped in the airport in Sharm el-Sheikh. I mean, obviously, we think that's bad. What do you think I'm going to go on and say? Oh, it's so much fun being in an airport, isn't it? You can kill so much time there. You've got the internet you can pay for. You can pretend to get into the business class lounge. I mean, what do you think I'm going to say? I think sometimes they can be a bit overprotective. And it's because of people like you, Richard.
It is.
With wisecracks like
that. They liked me until then, and then suddenly that was it. I was cut out.
Maybe they just thought you'd reached the pinnacle of anything anyone could say on the morning TV.
Maybe. So we're getting on. I haven't even asked you any emergency questions. That's how good you're being. I'll ask you about Answer Me This. My first question about Answer Me This is Martin the Sound Man a ghost?
He's in the room right now.
Does he, on an audio show, waving?
Well done, Martin.
When he speaks, his voice is all like, "Oh, hello, I'm Martin." Ooh. Yeah. I just wondered if he could still be dead. That could be a ghost.
It's a birth defect.
Is it?
Yeah.
So basically, we don't talk about the reverb.
Yeah.
First rule of reverb is you don't talk about the reverb.
You're talking about it now, Ollie. I'm uncomfortable with it.
Just because we're on a podcast talking about podcasting, I think we can make an exception on this occasion. We just thought it was funny in episode one. That's it. That's why he has a reverb.
It sort of makes it sound like it's in a studio, because that's what happened. The guy will, guy who's not in the studio will say hello, and then it will come through on reverb.
Yeah, whereas...
But you're not in a studio, you're
no,
in your house.
We're in my living room. He's about 2 feet away from us. Sometimes his voice sounds different because his teeth are slightly glued together by chocolate eclair.
He's the best one on it. I'm going to get him on.
He kind of is the best one on it.
He is.
And actually, he definitely talks the most sense on it. And when we're editing it, it gives me an excuse to say to Helen, just like, yeah, I think you should cut a bit more of Martin because, you know, too much reverb, hard to listen to. When actually I'm just like, get off my toes, sound man.
And you have married Martin the sound man.
Yeah, I am married to him.
Wow.
You look suspicious.
I'm not, you know.
It was purely a business arrangement.
Did you fall in love on the podcast or did you know each other before the podcast?
We were already a couple and then... He knew how to use microphones, so we got him on the podcast instead of learning to do that ourselves.
It would have been nice if he was just the guy there, and then just increasingly you were edging
Ollie
out.
Was the third wheel.
That would be nice. That, again, would be a more commercial story, wouldn't it? That would be the Casey Hopkins of podcast marriages.
For not throwing my private life open to get your story.
But that's it. You
know, and he's taken half of your name. Is that right?
Yeah, he's now Martin Zoltz Ostwick, whereas he was previously without the Zoltz.
Do we not attempt to do it the other way around? Because then it would be A to Z rather than Z to A.
Which would be cool, wouldn't it?
Zoltz, Wick. We could put it all together.
I've not made a decision yet about my name, so I'm up for suggestions.
Okay, I think you're definitely A to Z.
Did your wife take your name?
She has done in our private life, but in the public world.
You call her Richard?
Her passport is herring. Because what a great name. Why wouldn't you want to be called...
It is a great
name. I don't know. Tell us how your school days were and then we'll decide.
Sea herring. Are
you funny about puns with the word herring in, like Richard Bacon is about bacon?
I don't mind. It doesn't come up that much. Occasionally it does. I used to at school and stuff. But my dad was my headmaster, so that was more what I got teased about at school. But I do, in my current show, I do a big routine about when I die, how Steve Bennett from Chorhall is going to make a fish-based pun depending on my death.
But if someone said to you, we've got a great idea for an ITV chat show, it's hosted by you, it's called Pickled Herring.
Yeah.
Would you be like, I'm not sure about that?
I
you
genuinely
just go with
was
it?
Asked in the 1990s to front a Channel 5 show about fishing.
And again you said no.
I said no.
Have you ever been asked to put your name to a range of roll mops?
No. But once when I was in a supermarket, a man, an old man approached me with his hand towards my face going, herring, herring, herring. And then he literally went behind my ear and then picked a jar of herring off.
That's weird.
What are the odds?
It was fucking freaking.
Did he ask you to sign it?
No, he'd had no... He genuinely had no idea who I was.
If an old guy approached me going, man, 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 I think I'd be legitimately freaked out
and
by that.
And then picked a man.
Oh, I wish my surname was a noun. It sounds like so much fun.
But Richard Bacon's really funny about it.
Is he? Does he not like it?
When Five Live started his podcast, they called it Bacon Bits.
Right.
For about 2 weeks.
He insisted they changed it.
Yeah.
It was up. It was on the internet. It was on iTunes. Insisted they changed it. Can't handle it. If your name's Bacon, you've got to handle it, I think.
It's a bit... Well, like someone on Twitter that I saw... Because I searched myself on Twitter. So people say this is a vanity search, but it really isn't. Because you just find out horrible things. But someone said that Richard Herring's name is essentially Dick Fish. He hadn't added me in, so he shouldn't really reply, but I did. And I said, really, my name is Dick Herring. If you think about it, which is... But I'd never spotted them. Weird. Then he said, oh, that's a thing. Yeah. And then I said, I'd never spotted that myself. But Michael McIntyre, when I met Michael McIntyre, about Dick Herring.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's very sharp, Michael McIntyre.
I've got
you'd think, who would you have thought would come up with the pun Dick Herring? Me or Michael McIntyre? Me having lived my whole life with this name and not spotted that.
Yeah. I've got a cookbook from the early 60s, which is full of recipes to compel a man to marry you, essentially.
Yeah.
And one of them is a herring recipe, and it's saying maybe he'll put together herring and her ring.
Oh, right.
But that there probably was a sexual
there might have been a double
recipe.
Double thing on that, yeah, you never know. So let's because that went a bit weird. Let's ask an emergency question. It was my fault for going.
Was that your one question about Answer Me This? Does Martin have
is he a ghost? Yeah.
Jesus. Seriously.
7 years.
7 years we've been doing this podcast. Longer
that's
than you've been podcasting. That's
all I wanted
you've
to
got
know.
To ask us.
That's all I wanted to know about. And then I saw he's over there.
No, it's really
he's
important.
He's gone.
It's important.
He was there, wasn't he?
Martin died 20 years ago.
I don't generally talk about people's most famous work.
Right, okay.
You know, with you, it obviously means I have to go quite
deep.
Deep. I should ask some emergency questions. If you had to choose between having a tit that dispensed talcum powder, this is to both of you,
so dry.
Or a finger that could travel through time, which would you choose? And you can ask any auxiliary questions.
Just the finger, though, so you don't know what the finger gets up to in your absence.
You can look through and you can feel. You'll still be able to feel, so it'll make a wormhole. For you, you might be able to get your tiny penis through there as well. So
it's good we've got that established as a callback, isn't it?
Could you change Ollie's to time-travelling penis or talcum tip?
Well, I have thought about making it about a time-travelling penis anyway, because that would be more, you know, you could have more fun. Basically, if you had a time... This is an auxiliary question.
It could be an adult swim cartoon, couldn't it, a time-travelling penis?
You could. Who would you have sex with if you had a time traveling penis, Ollie, or a time traveling vagina, or a time traveling penis, Ellen?
You could feel it as if you were there.
Yeah, yeah. So it would go through a wormhole and then into
Vera Lynn, in Ollie's case. The young Vera Lynn.
You don't have to travel through time.
It's a genital drone, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a bit like doing my British Forces gadget correspondent. So if I had a genital drone, who would I go for?
That can travel through time.
That could travel through time.
Who would you go for?
I don't know. It's very hard. I did see someone.
I think Queen Elizabeth I. Sorry, I just had to... Queen Elizabeth I, yes.
Well, you've bagsied her. No one else can have
thanks.
Her. Thanks. Because of the virginity? Because that's why...
Partly that.
Yeah.
Partly because I could wipe it on the rough. I also want to know if there's a hashtag in white-faced facial, but I don't know.
I once saw a very attractive woman in a 16th century oil painting who I did quite fancy. And then you know, because of the unbridgeable chasm of time, that's a cursed love, isn't it? So yeah. I'd go back and find a real one of her.
Yeah, but you'd have to turn your penis into a painting of a penis, maybe, and then juxtapose them. What you could do now.
Are you saying, I'm not saying I want to have sex with the painting. And if I did want to have sex with the painting, I would use my own penis rather than drawing.
Do you get the thing where there's a famous bit of footage of someone,
yeah,
and because it gets shown a lot and you get older, yeah, you're then the same age as that person and then older than that, yeah, person each time you see it, and suddenly you go from being not at all interested to actually, yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Have you had that?
I can't think exactly of that, but I do.
I had that exactly the other day.
Was that when they were showing footage of Shirley Temple after she died?
yeah, it was at Mandela's funeral, and I was just thinking... It wasn't that. It was Rebecca Wade. Rebecca Wade, who when I see pictures of her now, I don't fancy her.
Yeah.
But when you see that picture of her and she's in the newsroom, you know, when she's there with Andy Coulson and they're using that really old computer in the News of the World newsroom, which gets shown all the time. When I was the age that was happening, I was about 10.
Yeah.
But now I look at that picture and I think, that's quite fancy Rebecca Wade when she was 27 and the editor of News
of the
World.
You kind of like the redhead ladies.
Who are powerful.
Yeah.
In the
powerful
redhead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, her and Queen Elizabeth.
Would you get her to wear a ruff?
Yes, I think I would.
Is there anyone you'd like to have sex with from history? If your husband sadly died. I don't think it counts as... I don't think it actually counts as cheating, because if it's...
Is it on the free five list?
As long as it's back beyond... It can't go back to some time within your marriage or your relationship.
Yeah.
That would be cheating. But if you've gone back any time before that... Then you can't really say, yeah, sorry, I fucked someone in 1873. But that was before you were alive. So I think
before
that
we got together, certainly.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the trouble is that just you're running a high risk of getting syphilis, yeah, aren't you, if you do any historical...
But you can treat that now, so it's all right. If anything, you're risking giving them AIDS, which they don't have.
Yeah, right. I am.
They really
can't treat it.
Yeah,
I am.
They're more at risk than you are, that's what I'm saying. Because you can treat everything they can give you.
What would happen in a film is that the time-travelling mechanism went wrong and your genitals were stuck in the past and they couldn't find their way home. What would you do?
There is a brilliant conspiracy thriller, isn't there, where Queen Elizabeth I dies of AIDS. Completely changed the course of history and how she's seen.
Because you have bummed her.
It's almost worth doing.
It's almost worth injecting yourself with AIDS and inventing time travel for your penis. It's almost worth doing.
It's almost worth doing.
So, in answer to my previous, more serious question...
Time-travelling penis, please.
The tit talc or thing...
Oh, tit talc, we haven't really discussed.
So, a limited amount of talcum powder.
But what's talcum powder useful for nowadays, apart from when you're at a murder mystery making your hair grey?
Tell you what, they're guaranteed booking on Lorraine with that, aren't you, Richard? If you want to find your way back on,
yeah.
I've got a breast that dispenses bathroom product. It's a guaranteed...
Jenny Eclair wanted the talc. I think as you're an older woman, it maybe becomes more useful.
Right, yeah.
But if you have babies... They can save a lot of money.
You could just buy it, though.
Well, you know, but how much does some talc cost? Probably 50p to a pound.
Yeah, but how much does time travelling cost?
But it's free. But and the tit talc is just you'd be manufacturing. I like the way I'm doing this all the way.
Yeah.
Through.
It's helpful with your reference.
It just helps me. I've become slightly distracted.
You're sort of kneading your own bosom.
It's kind of it's quite fleshy.
You found anything in there?
No, there's nothing coming out. A finger that can travel through time is not that useful either.
Well, not now you've tabled the idea of genitals that can travel through time. I think they would go for those.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I'd go finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not penis.
Penis wasn't an option. Penis was an amusing adjunct.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to take this question seriously. Okay.
Finger travelling time. It's good. I think it'd be good. And what is your favourite question you've ever done on Answer Me This?
That one, of course.
Yes, good.
It's one of those weird things, like literally your mind goes blank when someone says, what's your favourite question? Because we've done thousands and thousands. The ones that I remember, and I don't remember the details, but I remember the guy who wrote to us to say, and I guess the question was something like, is it weird that I... he kept a little, container of jizz by his bedside table and used it as hair gel to woo women.
To woo women.
Yes.
Because apparently the
cologne.
It asserts a pheromone.
I've heard
of
that, but you don't need, to, you don't need to keep it in by the bed. You've got it in your testicles. Well, yeah. You have to keep a congealing pot of spunk by the. I'll just keep that by the bed for times I can't be bothered to ejaculate on my own for some fresh semen.
I think history has congealed this in your mind, Ollie. I'm not sure he said that he keeps it in a container. I think he might have supplied it fresh each time and diluted it into a spritz.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you.
That's right. He added water into a spritz so that he could spray it as cologne. Anyway, it stuck in my mind.
And he said it worked. My friend Ewan did claim that. He said that
it's so disgusting.
Some sperm behind the ear.
Yeah, sounds
great.
Be the
way to attract women.
It sounds irresistible.
Who are sniffing around your ear.
It's not number one on a list of tips, is it? That's the thing. You've gone quite far down the list, I think.
And it smells quite bad as well. Yeah. I mean, even if there is like some pheromone effect beyond what you can smell, the smell of semen, it's like you might as well just dab a raw potato on your face.
Apparently that is good for your face.
Is it?
There's a greasy spoon around the corner from my flat that... It really smells quite jizzy. I think it's just because of the bleach they use, but it's very off-putting.
Yeah.
But they do give you an extra egg.
And then some.
I went there. No, they do. I went there the other day, and I'm on a bit of a health kick.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd go to a semen cafe and I'd order English breakfast, no bread, no hash browns.
Yeah.
And I think the guy just thought, oh, that's not really much for the breakfast. You've only got two eggs, beans, mushroom, extra egg for free.
Yeah, three eggs, that's what you need, isn't it?
Who wants three eggs, though? No one wants three eggs.
Yeah, but eggs aren't too unhealthy. I mean, they're unhealthy if you eat a lot of eggs, but they're not very calorific, really. Mm.
Well, there you go.
They're full of protein. They're very good for you. As is semen, though. So.
Do you have a favourite question, Helen?
This guy wrote to us saying he was the only dad that took his little kid to nursery school.
Oh, yeah.
And he got really sick of the other mums asking where his partner was. So he said that she was dead. And so then everyone was paying it, saying, oh, I'm so sorry. And then his partner said, I haven't heard from the school mums for ages. I'm going to give them a ring and invite them round. He's like, what do I do? He reported back. He was in shitloads of trouble.
Actually, that reminds me, Richard, I have with me the only question you have ever sent, answer me this.
Oh, really?
Apart from, please remove me from your mailing list, which is not technically a question.
Didn't have a question mark on the end.
Oh, we also... there was someone who went on a ski trip with family friends who were also a family, and they walked in on the dad kissing his daughter, and they didn't know what to do about that. But I think there the damage has been done elsewhere.
So these are sometimes we're going through our mail and you're like, that's not a question you ask a comedy podcast. We're not even remotely equipped to deal with
that question. Well, like kissing or just kissing?
And we didn't.
There was one we didn't feature. We put it on our website, but this guy wrote in saying that he gets really flat out drunk. And he set up a webcam in his room because when they had house parties, things went missing. And on 10 separate occasions, he saw his fiancée's best friend come in and have sex with him. Yeah. Well, that was our reactions.
With
him while he was insensible.
It was extraordinary.
And he was like, what do I do? Do I tell my fiancée I don't want to create bad blood for the wedding? I thought, you've been severely sexually assaulted, isn't that? Why is that not your first thought?
I can only imagine.
Why are you not giving the video to the police? Did you have a video?
When you're writing Samaritans, Google somehow auto-prompts you to our website. I don't know. But anyway, this is what you sent us via our mutual friend Matthew Crosby.
Oh, yes.
On the 10th of November 2007. Do you have any recollection of this? No. My question is, Helen and Ollie, answer me this. Where do you get your crazy ideas from? Now, do you know why you asked it? There's a story.
I think I always ask that to all comedians. I asked it to Richard Pryor.
That's the story. Yeah. Tragically, I used this question when given the rare opportunity to ask Richard Pryor a question just before he died, and he didn't spot it as a joke and merely answered, from the things I observe in life, I felt embarrassed.
Yeah, well, I wasn't, because I had one, and then he died shortly. I had one opportunity to, you know, ask Rich Pryor, and I thought he would get it. I thought he'd get that every stand-up comedian gets asked that, as every podcaster gets. You will never be asked what I just asked you, but he didn't get it as a joke. So I thought he'd be, yeah, well done, mate. I thought I'd get a little wink from Richard Pryor, make him laugh. But
he did have a lot of crazy ideas. In fairness to you, it would be interesting to know where some of those came from. Probably drugs or something.
But it's like the worst question you can ask a comedian, because it's just
about say something funny.
Well, yeah, it is that as well. But it's just because you know, there isn't really a process by which you get your ideas. You just get your ideas every now and again. Mm. from observing things in life, or something happens, or something strikes you. Mm. It's not an interesting. Look, it's not interesting. Not an interesting answer. So we, me and Stu, always used, when we were asked, we always used to say we copied them from the goodies. We said we copied the goodies and just changed one of the nouns.
And why did you only have one question with Richard Pryor?
Because it was some guy, you know, it's like the Guardian or the Observer or something, had got some comedians to ask him one question each.
Oh, I see.
So it wasn't directly to his face; it was emailed to him. I don't know.
He's not going
to
get irony that way.
I know,
Richard.
I didn't. I don't know what I expected him to do. Really, if he got it, go, yeah, well done.
Yes.
Prick. So in a way, it's pretty nice that he answered it politely, but it just feel like I wasted 5 to 10 seconds of his valuable remaining time on Earth.
You should have asked him if he thought that if you put jizz on his cologne, it would bring in women.
I would. If I could travel back through time and get my finger onto the keyboard, that is what I will ask.
If you ever get to host the Oscars, I'm going to bum you to death. That's what you should have asked.
I should. Let me see. Oh, no, this is a good story from Answer Me This that I've got to ask you about. How you became a big hit in Luxembourg.
Oh, that is an old story.
Yeah. Retro.
Do you want to do this or shall I?
I'll go ahead.
That was oh go ahead, but it did sound a bit like
I'll go ahead, didn't it?
Yeah. So it was an awkward moment. Okay, so back in 2007, when we were trying to make a name for ourselves as podcasters...
Before you'd even taken up the medium, Richard, imagine.
Yeah, before I was even a dream in your bumming's eye.
Before you were even his mortal enemy on me.
We realised that we were kind of maxed out in the UK in terms of the podcast chart. Like, all the stuff that was in the chart was BBC, or in those days, Channel 4 Radio. Remember those?
Oh, God, yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. Anyway.
We showed them, didn't we?
So we realised that the only way we could get into the iTunes chart was if we went to a country which, frankly, had fewer people downloading podcasts. And at the time, for tax reasons, remember, this is pre-apps. Apps didn't exist. So there were only something like 20 iTunes stores in the world. At the time, the world's smallest iTunes store with its own podcast department was Luxembourg.
Right.
So we went to Luxembourg, and Helen baked some cookies, and we gave out some cookies in the market.
Did busking, and do you know what? In Luxembourg, they do not like on-street tomfoolery at all. They hate it. So we're giving them out these free gingerbread men, because it's just before Christmas, and you've never seen a diplomat look more cross. It was humiliating.
But anyway,
but it worked, because we got to number 3 the next day.
We got to number 3 in Luxembourg, and that was our springboard, actually, into the UK iTunes chart. Because actually, not that so much as a ridiculous, oversized sort of box of chocolates that we left in the dodgy cubbyhole, which is iTunes in Luxembourg, because, as I say, it's only an address for tax purposes. Somehow that chocolate box managed to get back to the head of podcasts in the UK.
We left a large Christmas card, but they did not forward on the chocolates.
No, it was just the card that got back, was it? Yeah. And then we got featured.
Your way in.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you need to do, Richard, if you really want to make it in this business. Go to Luxembourg. It's the star maker.
I will. And also, this is interesting as well, because I don't think this probably has ever happened in the history of broadcasting. You both went to St Catherine's College, Oxford.
Yes, God, there's no weird. We haven't mentioned that. And you're the only other remotely famous person.
And so did I.
Yeah.
Which is it's basically the comprehensive school on the edge of Oxford that they mainly let comprehensive. It looks like a comprehensive school.
Remember when you were asking about brutalism?
Yes.
There are elements.
There are. And so all the comprehensive kids basically go to that one and aren't allowed to join in with the rest of Oxford.
Yeah.
Is that how you found it? I left after that. I mean, I stayed there. I was still there, but I didn't like it.
We both quite liked it, didn't we?
We had a very pleasant time, but we went there after
you. Did people talk about me a lot?
There's a kind of statue hewn out of concrete.
They say this thing in Latin before every meal, but it's something about Richard Herring. I'm not sure exactly. But you're right. I think the only other properly famous person is... I think A.A. Milne had some connection. But
that was before.
But that was before the building existed.
Emily Wolfe from...
Was Emily Wolfe at Cats?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. People have gone quiet and upset because we're talking about going to Oxford University.
Yes, I know.
But that's pretty pretty unlikely, because St. Cat's is a shithole. No one comes out of it well. I think maybe Matthew Pinson went to St. Cat's.
Yes, he did, yeah. He came to a special dinner event when we were there, and everyone felt his medals.
Yeah, my friend pinched his bum as well, just said it was rock hard. Yeah.
Alice Eve, who got her tits out in the last Star Trek, she went to St. Cat's.
Did she? Yeah. And it's good that that's what... what you remember for, but I didn't know that, so I will.
It's worth watching.
I definitely will go back and watch that.
Yeah, so again, get the pause. It's around the same time as Lee Ryan's cock. Yes, just about.
She's nice, Alice Eve. She's Trevor Eve's daughter.
Yes.
She is.
And she's tertiary educated.
And the woman from the from the Gold Blend adverts, her mum.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I could do your show.
Facts about Alice Eve, our new podcast. Alice Eve.
We found out a lot about Alice Eve's breasts. Could one of them squirt talcum powder?
I wouldn't put it past it, Richard. It is a phenomenal thing.
I hadn't watched that. Even when I interviewed Simon Pegg, I hadn't watched that Star Trek.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. And I don't like all that sci-fi stuff. No. I'm saying that despite the fact Robert Llewellyn's coming on in a minute.
You like boobs, though. Did that make up for the sci-fi?
I really enjoy Star Trek, yeah. It's really fun, the new ones.
Yeah, I don't know why I haven't watched it. Anyone else seen it? Yeah. All right, fuck you. If you had to go, we're going to have to wrap up soon, but have you got an idea? If you were on Dragon's Den, my idea is a dog is just for Christmas. You may have heard it. Have you got an idea for Dragon's Den? It's a really hard question.
A drug to put to sleep the dogs that you've given just for Christmas.
I always have these ideas,
yeah.
But now you've put me on the spot.
I know, that's what I did. I thought of it last week. I thought this is a great emergency question, but I couldn't think of any until I went and looked them up. I've got them written down.
But.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know what the idea is, I know that I would want Deborah and Peter going 50% each. No other combination of dragons is worth it. That new one, Piers Linney, are you joking? Prove yourself. Don't just expect me to give you 30% of my company. No one knows who you are. Don't just sit there twiddling your ring, looking all serious.
I think I would pitch gyms for adults that are just like kids' playgrounds.
Oh, that's good.
I think people would like that, wouldn't they?
I would like that. That was good. A few years ago, I was going out with someone who had a young son, and we went to one of those ball pits together, and the adults weren't really allowed to, you know, like all the climbing frames and stuff.
Yeah.
The adults weren't really allowed to go on, but they had to go in and help him because he got stuck. It was brilliant. I mean, not that he got stuck.
Yeah.
The idea of a tiny child stuck in a climbing frame is not brilliant to me. No. But it was good. It was good to go and climb around it because my mum and dad would never let me do stuff like that.
Really, were they risk averse?
They just were. We never really went and did anything. I grew up in Cheddar in Somerset. There was Cheddar Gorge. That was
go and look at stalactites.
Cheddar Gorge is brilliant.
And I always wanted to go on a bouncy castle. I never went on to a bouncy castle until I was 19 or 20 years old.
It's a bit late by then.
Then I was thrown out of the children's playgroup. It was actually at Oxford University ball. Oh, God.
I can hear Kelly Hoppen listening to this and being unimpressed. I don't think she's going to invest.
I was bouncing on a bouncy castle with Rowan Pelling, who went on to be the editor of the Erotic Review. But
Inspired by that experience.
I don't know. Nothing very erotic happened, unfortunately. Despite everything, or my best attempts. I really feel I've lost the audience, so I think didn't realise I went to Oxford University until... But I got there from a comprehensive school in Cheddar, where that's like being in the Middle Ages, and by being clever, so... That's upset you as well, hasn't it? That I am secretly clever, I've hidden that away. We will... If you had to have sex with an animal, Ollie Mann... You had to.
Yeah.
If Helen was being held hostage and they said we're going to kill...
Well, he wouldn't do anything if I was being held hostage.
If your girlfriend was being held hostage by me...
If they said you get to come on Queen Elizabeth I rough if you do this thing. Yeah.
Which animal would you have sex with if you could have sex with any animal?
Giving or receiving.
Really thinking about it.
I know, I am thinking.
You can answer this question as well if
Thanks.
You wish.
But, yeah, is it a giving or receiving situation?
Whatever you want.
Providing that no one would get hurt.
Stingray. Because they do mimic the feminine vulva anyway.
Mm. In what way does a stingray mimic...
Go on Google Images, Richard. It's plain for anyone to see.
It's one of those like parrots, you know, copying what people say.
They're just trying to lure you in.
Is that how they got a Steve Irwin?
I think mountain bear is what I would go with.
A mountain bear?
Female mountain bear.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Not going to bum a bear, are you?
Not again.
All three of your fantasy sexual partners have been quite scary.
Rebecca Wade.
Yeah.
Elizabeth
and
the
Queen
first.
Elizabeth I.
Would it be a ginger mountain bear?
With a ruff.
A mountain bear that looks like it could have edited the News of the World. Yes. That is my fantasy.
Okay,
you got me.
Good. That is dangerous.
Yeah. What's your one?
The Akapi.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go for the Akapi, just because then you're kind of getting three animals in one. It's good value.
Well, that is true. I mean, have you seen their tongue?
No.
Ooh. I tell you, I chose an Akapi before I even saw the tongue. I just went for the... If you look at the carpies from behind... You're like this. Mm. If you look at the carpie from behind, it looks very like a woman wearing zebra print trousers. Uh-huh.
Except with hooves and a tail.
But that's not... I actually saw some shoes that were... I saw a woman who had shoes that looked like hooves. I think a lot of men would go for that.
Yeah.
The hooved carpie.
Woman. Well, just on hooves on a woman. I think... Don't you think that high-heeled shoes are, in a way, to make women sort of totter around in a way, like, a little bit like an antelope that you're going to,
slaughter.
Slaughter and bring down and eat. You don't think that?
No.
Just me, then.
Just you.
But also, then I went and had another look at the Icarpi. They can lick their, hindquarters with this very long tongue. So you've
imagine chosen, what else they could do.
You've chosen wisely, Helen Zaltzman.
So have you, Richard Herring.
Thank
but
you.
I don't want to share a carpies with you. I want exclusive.
It could be out of carpy sandwich. We could be the bread in a carpy sandwich. Waving, high-fiving.
Yeah, all right, let's double team in a carpy. When are you busy?
With Ollie Man in the mountain bear cage near, like, they look quite. They
you
look
told
quite
me no one would get hurt.
Look, we're going to have to wrap it up. I could talk to you all day. I've got 1,000 questions for you. We didn't get. You got badges like I have, didn't get onto that.
Yeah. I think we possibly saw the badges on your site and copied your supplier for the badges. Yeah.
We've only just got the badges. And if people want to send in a question to answer me this, how do they do that?
Well, they can discover our email and phone details on our website, answermethispodcast.com.
Correct.
And it is, despite everything I've said about Ollie Mann, luckily Helen Zaltzman is very good. And so
is
Martin, the ghost bloke. Martin is good. The ghost Martin is good. It's good having. I wish I had a ghost on this show.
Well, imagine what it's like being married to a ghost, Richard.
I do. That's why I wish I had a ghost. A sex ghost is what I. That is what I am after. So didn't get on the Reader's Digest. You write for the Reader's Digest.
I missed the opportunity to insult me about that. Yeah.
And you write short plays about historical figures.
Yeah, I used to be a benefits administrator. We didn't get onto that.
I didn't know that.
You've got so much to learn.
You've got to volunteer stuff like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause. Helen Zaltzman, Ollie Mann, answer me this. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guests, Helen Zaltzman and Ollie Mann. Music was by Pest, as usual. It's nice, isn't it? Listen to that. Can you hear it? Thanks to Orange Market, the British Comedy Guide, and all the staff at the Leicester Square Theatre, and Chris Evans. Not that one. Grow up. Of course it's not that one. It was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production for the internet. Thanks for listening to that show. I hope you enjoyed it. As I say, if you want to give us something back for this free podcast, you can go to gofasterstripe.com/RHLSTP5, Rahelastapa5, and you can just donate a little bit of money on a one-off, donate some money a month, or you can buy the video version of this podcast. There's also a podcast called Meaning of Life. Check that out, Richard Herring's Meaning of Life. Again, you can download video and audio of that for free. Go to vimeo.com/channels/RHMOL for the free video. iTunes and British Comedy Guide for the free audio. There is an option to pay money for that and get a longer version as well at gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL. But, just enjoy listening to everything for free if you like. That is up to you. Please tell your friends about these podcasts if you enjoy them. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.